Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, in the anointing of God, the presence of God is so strong. Why? Because I have Neil Russell's brand new book, just off the press, Newton's Riddle. And this is such a now book. I mean, get this. It involves the world's first female president for the United States. It involves Israel being pushed by the United States into orchestrating a peace agreement. It's historical fiction, but it is prophetic. I believe it's so prophetic, but there is such a presence of God in the studio right now that I want to pray for you. I command in Yeshua's name that all sickness, all evil come off of you, all pain, spirit of pain, I command you to come off of every person that is listening right now. Spirit of cancer, I bind you and I command you off of God's people right now in Jesus' name. And I speak peace to those that are in turmoil in Yeshua's name. My guest here by way of telephone is Neil Russell. I'm speaking to him at his home in Queenstown, Maryland. Neil is a high school teacher at Annapolis High School. He's written his first novel. Neil, did you always want to write a novel?
Sid, I never had any feelings for writing anything. I teach night school, day school. I coach. I am a father and grandfather. Writing a novel was the furthest thing from my mind.
But yet you said when you started this, you had the worst spiritual attack of your life, and you also had some of the greatest supernatural help of your life, even to the point of you started typing supernaturally. But tell me the premise of the book.
The premise of the book is twofold. One, to let people see beyond their senses that there's another world, and this world is just as real as the world that we live in. That there are governments, and in the Bible, in Ephesians, it says there are principalities. And there are angels that are out there that are there to assist us, and there are demons out there to do what Satan's bidding is, to kill to steal, to kill, and destroy. And most people don't believe that, including myself. But they plan out the future, and we read about it in the newspapers.
Yeah, you knew how to talk about it, but you really, in your heart of hearts, as you explained yesterday, you didn't believe it.
No, I didn't. I really believe God was giving me insight to write the book. But as far as on a personal level, I really didn't believe the things that my wife was telling me. And it wasn't until God opened my eyes, the Holy Spirit revealed this, that everything I was writing was absolutely true, and that it was Satan's plan to stop me from finishing this book, because I truly believe that the events in this book, even though I'm not setting a date, these events will happen because they come from Scripture.
Well, give me a brief outline of what the story is about.
Isaac Newton truly felt that God had placed him here not only to find out how the universe worked, but also to find out the times of Christ's return. And he spent the last 35 years of his life poring over the prophetic scriptures, especially Daniel and Zechariah, Isaiah, and the book of Revelations. He really felt that before he died, God would reveal to him Christ's return. And the premise of the book, and this really happened, is that one of his journals ended up in the hands of a friend, and the friend's name was John Craig, and it stayed in John Craig's family until 1936. All of Newton's works are found in Cambridge University, but this journal ended up, through a period of 300 years not being revealed until I believe God wanted it to be revealed. Today, that journal is in Jerusalem. And it has been decoded. So the premise of the book is that Newton wrote a coded journal that's been decoded, and the code in there shows us exactly what's going to happen. Most books that you read on end times take place during the time of the revelation from the rapture on. This book takes us from now, I believe, through the end of next year, which I don't think anybody's ever written an end-time book that places it right in the present.
And of course, as I Googled Sir Isaac Newton, I found out that he said the world would end no later than 2060. He also said that before the world would end, the Jews would return to Israel. Isn't that fascinating?
It's fascinating.
Because, you know, when did he live? What was it, about the 1700s, I guess?
That's right. That's right. He died in 1727. And
so for him to say the Jews would be preserved, for him to say the Jews would come back to Israel in the last days, that took a man that really believed the Bible.
Absolutely. As I said before, he really felt that God had placed him here especially to find out when Christ would return. And he saw, after reading the Old Testament prophecies, that God's timetable is the Jew. And back in the 1700s, the Jews were scattered. He didn't foresee that in 1948, after the Holocaust, the Jews would return to their homeland. He also foresaw that there would be a friendly nation that would arise during this period that would make it possible for the Jews to not only go back, but stay in their homeland. And I believe, and again, it's in the book, that friendly nation was the United States of America. The other point of the book is that God makes a promise. In Genesis 12:3, he said that to the descendants of Abraham, that those who blessed them would be blessed. And the United States, throughout our history, has blessed the Jew. They blessed the Jew by opening the doors to America and welcoming them in. They blessed the Jew by supporting Israel from 1948 until this present moment.
I mean, this is the most blessed country in the world, despite what people say about us. It's the most wonderful, blessed country. And I'm convinced that it's because we've tapped into Genesis 12:3. God says, I, God, will bless those who bless the Jewish people, and I will curse those who curse the Jewish people. And your book, Newton's Riddle, goes into a period in history where the United States is starting to curse Israel. Explain.
Sid, what we read in the newspapers, the recent newspapers, is that we are pressuring, the United States is pressuring Israel to give back their covenant land. Now, I live on the eastern shore of Maryland, but I work in Annapolis, Maryland. We had a conference right here in our hometown in which we pressured both sides to meet, and the premise of the meeting was to divide up God's covenant land, that Israel would return the West Bank and also divide Jerusalem, including giving back, I believe, the Temple Mount. And any country, that's the apple of God's eye, that forces Israel's hand to give back their God covenant land is possibly coming under the curse that's mentioned in Genesis 12:3, that I will curse those who also harm or come against Israel.
And in your book, you paint a pretty bleak picture for America. What do you hope will happen as a result of this novel? I mean, this thing could catch on and be a major motion picture. Do you think it will be a motion picture?
With God, all things are possible, and this is something that just...
It's going to be. But go ahead. When someone reads this book, the average person doesn't understand prophecy, but they will read a historical fictional novel.
Absolutely. And I've seen so many people pick up, like, The Da Vinci Code, which is based on lies. This book is filled with scripture. And one of the things I wanted is for people that really aren't versed in scripture to see how these scriptures are coming alive. And so that, to me, is probably the most important part, to actually read the newspaper and just take a look at scripture and say, my gosh, when they read these scriptures in the Bible, they can actually see that this is happening in the world.
Yeah, it's not like Sir Isaac Newton that saw scripture and believed it hundreds of years before it happened. It's a now book. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen another book that has been such a now book. I mean, and it's so gripping. I couldn't put the book down. You know, I just started reading and I didn't want to put the book down. And can you imagine getting this information into people about the reality of the supernatural realm? About the reality of the scriptures, about the reality of the Jew in Israel. Now, there have been, Tim LaHaye wrote a whole series, the Left Behind series, but he didn't understand the invisible realm, or at least he didn't talk about it, or Israel to the degree that you understand this. What kind of reaction are you getting? You're a high school teacher. What kind of reaction are you getting from your students that have read some of the first copies of this book?
Sid, they've never heard about the supernatural outside of what they see on television. And I truly believe when they actually hear the truth, students will flock to the truth. And very seldom do they actually see it. They love reading the book. They love hearing the truth about demons and how demons take on roles all the way up to from Satan, who's in the chief demon, all the way down to the little demons, which we call spirits of infirmity that bring on sickness. And also the demons that are assigned to people, these are called familiar spirits, that they watch everything we do. And when we die, that these demons of these familiar spirits know everything about us. So when they conjure them up on television, they think they're real people. Actually, what they're talking to is demons.
You know, Neil, your book, Newton's Riddle, it's such a thriller. That's the best word that I can describe. It's a book that you want to read because it's not only is it a fascinating book, but it will open up the supernatural to you. Not only will it open up the supernatural, prophetically, it'll show you right where we are at this moment in history. And I love, Neil, the way you extrapolated from Sir Isaac Newton's secret black book what he, the greatest mathematician and scientist the world has ever offered, when he feels that the Lord's going to return. You actually state the year in this book. We're making the book available for a donation of $20. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.